We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
0-2, and there's a shot in the left center field that a line gets down for a hit. Holton will score. He crosses the plate as Mullins, the center fielder, flips it into second. RBI single for Christian Vasquez. 2-0 Red Sox. Christian with his 16th RBI. He hit a bullet behind 0-2. He ripped it.
Recapping the Red Sox win against the Orioles.
1-0 pitch. Swinging a high drive to left fieldy. Back by the wall. Jones looking up, and it is gone! Monster seats, home run for Mookie Betts. It's 4-0 Red Sox. His fourth career home run off Bundy. 32 homers, 80 RBIs by Mookie as he hit a moonshot ever so high.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with John Ryder on WEEI.
So they get it done. They finally get it done here. They have to drop in the last two in Cleveland. You knew the Red Sox would get it done at some point with a week to go, and you knew they'd get it done at some point during this week, and they get it done tonight. That means clinch home field advantage throughout the postseason. Yes, they set the franchise record for wins at 106, and that is extremely impressive. 106 wins. Not many teams get to 100 wins or over 100 wins. So unlike last year where they had to start at Houston in the postseason, and the year before that at Cleveland on the road, they'll be starting at home this season. And you don't see this too often. The Red Sox are going to be home for like the next 2 weeks because they're home all week this week to play. And then in the postseason, those two games, they got to, you know, find out after the wild card. And hopefully, I mean, right now the Yankees currently have a 2-game lead on the A's for the top wild card. Yankees, a 4-1 win at Tampa Bay tonight. Oakland, meanwhile, right now, tied at one with the Mariners in the top of the third in Seattle. So Oakland currently two back as they, try to keep pace with the Yankees. I mean, I've said this before, and I said this last week. And with the Tampa Bay loss, the A's have clinched a playoff spot. But we knew that ooh, the top two wild cards, because the Rays just ran out of time. Rays had an unbelievable season. I mean, they were hanging in there last week. They were like five games back of Oakland for that second wild card, but just not a lot of time left. So with the Rays loss, the A's clinch wild card spot, their first playoff berth since 2014. But we knew the Red Sox were headed to the postseason. But what do you think? I mean, how important is it that this Red Sox team has home field advantage throughout the postseason? I think it's significant. I mean, it's not, and I've discussed this before, but yeah, I mean, it's not like it is when the Patriots get home field advantage, and that's another subject, and we'll get into the Patriots definitely, where they have home field advantage throughout the playoffs in the AFC. But having home field, and if they get to the World Series, home field, especially at Fenway, and how well they played at Fenway Park this season, as the Red Sox now at Fenway are 55-21. So let's see. That is, I believe, the best home record. It is. It is the best home record in all of Major League Baseball. You know, as the second one is the Yankees, 53-28. The A's have a very good home record. The A's have a better home record than the Astros as they look at it right now, 50-31 for Oakland. So that's pivotal and that's crucial. I mean, it's crucial for a young team like Oakland to be playing that game at home. We'll see. And the Yankees with a blow yesterday. Boy, what a busy day in sports yesterday. There was a million things going on. I mean, there's so much that happened yesterday. You had Tiger Woods, which was incredible. And I felt like it was, 2005 or something when you're looking there and Tiger. And he did have a good season or a good year on the PGA Tour back in 2013. He was PGA Player of the Year back then, but you were wondering, and he was talking about it. He was emotional yesterday you know, would he ever come back? Just seeing that sea of people there at the Tour Championship in Atlanta, behind him, walking behind him as he approached the 18th hole was something to behold. I mean, even Tiger, and you can tell Tiger was pumped up. He wasn't, he probably felt like I'm finally back. It's me again, I'm sure. And he's been through a lot. I'm not a huge Tiger fan, but I'm not against him either. Kind of different. But I just think it's good for golf and it's good for sports to see him involved. And I believe he's 42 now. He's now two away from Sam Snead's all-time PGA record for wins on the PGA Tour. He now is 80 in his career, but that was his first PGA Tour win since 2013. So 5 years, several back surgeries, an arrest, all the other stuff. Boy, I remember seeing that mugshot of him, and that was what? That was this past winter, right? I believe. I think we'll check on that. I've got Drew Johnson back there running things, checking on things. I remember that specifically. I was working at ESPN those 2 days. Well, I remember I was staying in a hotel there in Bristol. I remember waking up that next day and I had SportsCenter on, and the first thing I saw when I turned on the TV was that mugshot, and I'm like, what the hell happened? Like, I couldn't believe it. And you thought at that point, after everything, he was cooked. He was done after all the back surgeries. Miserable. August of last year. Why did I think it was the winter? I don't know. Anyway, when I saw that, I was like, wow, that's not good. And then, credit to him to bounce back. So we're kind of bouncing all over the place. Also coming up, and speaking of the Patriots and that debacle in Detroit last night, that's another thing. Not like Tiger's mugshot, but I was watching the TV, watching that last night. I'm like, what is going on here? I mean, I couldn't believe at one point after that James White touchdown, they were only down 3 there. And that was one of those games where the final score was not that close. I mean, it was 26-10, yeah, considered a blowout, but wasn't even that close. I mean, that was just listless. I mean, I know they were missing three starters on defense. They missed Patrick Chung and Trey Flowers out there. Dante Howard's definitely lost a step. He's dealing with a knee injury right now. And the offense, I mean, who does Brady have to throw to? Cordarrelle Patterson and Philip Dorsett had a rough game. A ton of Sony Michel trying to implement him into the offense. And the doubling up Rob Gronkowski, and you could clearly tell Tom Brady was extremely frustrated, flipping his helmet a few different times on the sidelines, and just, by all indications, a very cold locker room after the game, and as we're not in a great mood. So you don't see that too often. Back-to-back losses for the Patriots, and in blowout fashion to the Lions. I mean, that's a team, the Lions, that gave up 78 points over their first two games. Get throttled by the Jets, and then comeback bid against San Francisco falls short. And speaking of Tom Brady, he did his weekly interview with Jim Gray on Westwood One before Monday Night Football during the pregame show of that. So we will play that for you coming up in our 11 o'clock segment. We'll be playing that full interview, Jim Gray and Tom Brady, coming up a little after 11 o'clock. So not to next segment, but also welcome your phone calls on this Red Sox team. How important do you think it is? I think it's important that the Red Sox clinch the best record in the majors and home field advantage throughout the postseason, especially with the foes in the American League this season. I mean, whether it's the Yankees in the ALDS or the A's, certainly Cleveland or Houston. I mean, couldn't you see any of those teams? I mean, I could see I still might give Houston the slight advantage, and then I'd probably go Red Sox, Indians. Indians are nothing to stay. Indians and Red Sox are fairly equal. I mean, it's tough, and they match up well against each other. I mean, lineup-wise, it should be a fascinating and great postseason in the American League, and I'm looking forward to it. A lot of drama, and the Red Sox have to make a deep run. I mean, I don't think many people will just think, well, if they get bounced in the ALDS by either the Yankees or A's, you have to view this season as a disappointment, because 106 wins, or if they get to 111 or whatever they end up doing, Who cares? Everyone will remember it as, wow, the Red Sox won all these games, much like what the 2001 Mariners. I mean, they're not going to win whatever that was, 120 or 121. Regular season. But that's it. They'll look at this as a disappointment. I think most Red Sox fans would. I would anyway. I don't think, I mean, losing in the ALCS to either Houston or Cleveland, why would it be more disappointing, I think, to lose to Cleveland? Is it because Houston's the, I mean, in my mind, I mean, it'd be disappointing either way, clearly. It'd be great theater, Terry Francona and the Indians. And then Alex Cora, of course, was the bench coach with the Astros last season. So looking forward to the postseason. I'm sure many of you are just thinking, all right, get here already. Because, you know, attendance tonight, 35,000. Maybe some stayed for a few innings of this one. Probably left after that four-run second tonight because it was pretty cold. It's pretty cold out there tonight. Feels like October weather already. All right, John Ryder with the Red Sox Review. Late for a break. So coming up shortly, we'll get you that Tom Brady interview with Jim Gray on West Woolen before tonight's Monday Night Football game. By the way, Pittsburgh, a 30-20 lead at Tampa Bay early in the fourth quarter. 617-779-7937. You text us at 37937. With you up until midnight, then it's Patrick Gilroy, John Ryder, Red Sox Review. Plenty to get into, whether you want to talk Sox, get to 106 wins, home field advantage throughout the postseason, whether it's the Patriots and that disaster last night in Detroit, Tiger Woods winning the Tour Championship, anything NFL-wise, the Jimmy Garoppolo injury. So a bunch to get into, whatever you prefer, and certainly baseball conversation. We'll get to the calls and the Tom Brady interview up next after Trending Now here on Red Sox Review on WEI.
This is Red Sox Review on WEI.
0-2, and there's a shot in the left center field, and the line gets down for a hit. Holt will score. He crosses the plate as Mullins, the center fielder, flips it into second. RBI single for Christian Vasquez. 2-0 Red Sox. Christian with his 16th RBI. Hit a bullet behind 0-2. He ripped it.
Recapping the Red Sox win against the Orioles.
1-0 pitch. Swinging a high drive to left fieldy. Back by the wall. Jones looking up, and it is gone. Monster seats. Home run for Mookie Betts. It's 4-0 Red Sox. His fourth career home run off Bundy. 32 homers, 80 RBIs by Mookie as he hit a moonshot ever so high.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with John Ryder on WEEI.
Yeah, that was a moonshot, as Joe Castiglione called it off the bat of Mookie Betts, that two-run shot. It was a hanging slider from Dylan Bundy. Red Sox getting to Bundy will serve up home runs. I mean, this was a tough night to crank one out. There was only one home run. Betts, such a small guy, but such a quick bat, and he's just amazing. And I think he's sewn up the MVP with this past week he's had. I mean, there's a lot of superstars. Mike Trout's had a great season. I was hearing someone, what is all this Mike Trout, sometimes Mike Trout support for the MVP? Of course, he beat out Mookie Betts a couple of years ago. Nothing against Mike Trout, but the Angels have had and he's a great player to watch, but he was banged up a lot this season. He had that one long stint on the DL. I know he's hit a bunch of home runs over the past week. J.D. Martinez, obviously, in the conversation. Jose Ramirez, Francisco Lindor, even some Chris Davis of Oakland with all of his home runs. But I think, you know, Mookie Betts will end up winning it, and he should win it. I mean, he's had a terrific season. Obviously, J.D. Martinez is not going to get the Triple Crown. As you know, he's about 10, 11 points now in back of Mookie Betts in batting average. He's 4 home runs back of Chris Davis of Oakland. He does lead in RBIs. He'll get some votes, but I don't think he'll get a ton of first-place votes. I wonder who the National League MVP. I don't know if anyone cares about that. I doubt that around here, but it'd probably be maybe Javi Baez of the Cubs. Christian Yelich of Milwaukee's having a very good season as well. So maybe one of those guys. But anyway, Red Sox winners tonight, 6-2 over the Orioles, 106th win, which is a franchise record. John Ryder, Red Sox Review, 617-779-7937. You can text us at 37937. Also coming up in this segment, we hear from Tom Brady, meaning Tom Brady talking with Jim Gray before the Monday Night Football game at Tampa Bay. By the way, the Steelers 30-20 lead at Tampa Bay, 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. But that interview with Jim Gray on the pregame show before Monday Night Football, Westwood One, coming your way momentarily. But let's get a couple of calls in before that. And leading us off is John in Cambridge. Hey, John.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
What's going on?
Hey, lifetime listener, first-time caller of 37. Good to be on the air.
Thank you.
I just wanted to talk about pitching. I'm a pitching guy, and I know we've all got pitching on our mind around here. So, I mean, I thought Evaldi looked great. He sounded very humble and focused in the post-game. I thought Rodriguez looked great. Barnes, of course. I mean, Brazier's looking to be the eighth-inning guy, right?
Yeah, either him or Barnes. But I know what you're about to say, but what about Joe Kelly?
Yeah. Well, so what do you think about – It was Brazier before Barnes, right? Well, what do you think about Brazier as an eighth inning guy? And then, you know, what do you think about Joe Kelly before that? What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that the guys in that late inning situation, Brazier, Barnes, and I think even a possibility of Stephen Wright, or maybe Eduardo Rodriguez or Nathan Eovaldi. I mean, that could be the case.
I like the idea of Wright. Kelly's control, he had no control tonight. It was bad, right?
Yeah, right. Well, he walked two guys. He gave up a hit. He did have the one strikeout mixed in, but after he pitched well on Saturday night in extra innings with guys on, tonight against this hapless Baltimore team, it was a struggle for him. So I think he'll make the postseason roster. I don't know how much action he'll see. I don't know how much confidence you can have in him and his struggles here in the second half of the season and parts throughout the season. I mean, he had that one good stretch earlier in the season, but I would say that it's Brazier or Barnes. Even Barnes at times worries me, but he was good tonight. And he's just coming back from that hip injury. But, you know, it might be – I wouldn't be stunned in certain situations. Now, if it's the Yankees, I think Evaldi will be the Game 4 starter. If it's Oakland, I think Eduardo Rodriguez will be the Game 4 starter. That's how it's going to match up.
If Kelly tanks it one more time, like, do we scrap him for the playoffs?
They're going to trot him back out there, I'm sure, a few times before the week is out. But I don't think they do. I don't think they do. I still think that when it comes to the postseason, they'll be looking for a guy that can – I mean, he does have potential strikeout stuff, so they'll probably – I think he'll make it, but I don't think that they're going to be putting him in a high leverage situation.
I'd have to agree, and I think the positive takeaway tonight is Evaldi for sure.
Oh, Evaldi and Rodriguez, two scoreless innings out of the bullpen, and I like the fact
that was rock solid.
Yeah, Evaldi was great. I mean, and that velocity, and he had the cutter, and the breaking ball was working as well. The curveball, the Orioles strike out a lot, so that's a perfect matchup for him. They lead the league in strikeouts, of course. I mean, this is a team. I mean, that's crazy. And thanks for the call, John. Appreciate the first-time call. That's crazy. What is the difference in wins? So Baltimore, 111 losses. Red Sox, 106 wins. So that's like, 60 more wins. The Red Sox have won like 60. Well, the math's not too difficult to do. But off the top of my head, the Red Sox have won like 60 more games than Baltimore. That's what they've done. I mean, you don't see that often. I mean, that's historically bad. It's the 62 Mets I heard Joe talking about tonight on the broadcast that lost, 119 games, which is the modern record. All right, here's Mike in Maine. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
So, even if the Red Sox lose in the first round of the playoffs or the second round of the playoffs, it's been – 6 months, 162 games as a Red Sox fan, as a purist in spring training. I just want to enjoy the season. I have enjoyed this season so much.
I have too.
That it almost just as much as I would a World Series win. I mean, with all
really?
The walk-offs, all the stats.
Oh, no, it's been great. I mean, Mike, look, I've loved
wonderful.
I've loved doing a lot of these shows.
I feel like I don't need that World Series win. It's just been an incredible season.
Yeah, see, I'm greedy. I guess it's just the Boston fan in me and being from this area.
Know,
I mean, it's just
calling.
Yeah, I mean, I have. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not. It's not going to be like all of a sudden – I'll be disappointed because they're just such a good team and they've won so many games.
Of course, I'll be disappointed and the expectations are high, but
No, there's been
as a fan. I mean, come on. It's been a great.
Oh, it has been. Look, I don't think anyone could argue with that. What I'm saying is,
cake would be a World Series win.
Because it's been so.
Everything changes when you get to the playoffs, and you know we haven't played well against the potential playoff teams. So,
I they played all right against the Yankees, although not great in New York, but. You know, it, to me anyway, Mike, there has been thrilling. I mean, Xander Bogaerts, walk-off grand slam against Toronto. There's been plenty of Mookie Betts moments. J.D. Martinez, great starts from Chris Bogaerts Sale, even David Price.
Four grand slams this year?
Yeah, there's been signature.
Last year. And
it's been incredible. I mean, they'll be down three at times in the seventh, but then they'll hit someone with a four-run haymaker right there at the bottom of the seventh. I mean, that's happened a bunch of times. So, yeah, it's been thoroughly enjoyable for myself doing a lot of these shows and watching the games and the pregame shows and all that stuff, but being part of it. But
like in the same position in April as I do in October.
I mean, there's,
you know, you have a lot of high hopes for the upcoming season, and you have a lot of high hopes for the upcoming playoff season. But either way, I'm satisfied.
Yeah, well, I won't be satisfied. I'll be satisfied with a regular season, but the season.
I'm an exception.
Yeah. Well, no, there's some out there. Look, it's not, you know, if they bow out, it doesn't mean that I wouldn't have enjoyed the regular season and some of the signature wins.
On the radio, listening to the EEI late at night, staying up, you know, just like, man, I can't even put together how many different awesome memories I've had from the season. I can't even imagine that would. I guess, of course, a World Series win would be great.
Yeah, I would say so. And thanks for the call, Mike. But, yeah, if they lose to the Yankees and the ALDS after all this, I mean, you know, obviously losing to the Yankees anyway. I mean, it's amazing that if that does end up happening, if Yankees beat the A's and they play the Red Sox in the ALDS, first time since 2004. That's crazy. One more, and then we'll get to the Tom Brady interview. Here's, is it Collis in Hampton?
Hello?
You're on the air. How's it going?
I think that the Red Sox are an easy shoe-in to win the World Series this year. I mean, what competition do they have, really? There's no one that's going to stop this team until they make it to the World Series.
I'm happy with your confidence. I hope the team's that confident, but I think Houston worries me. They do worry me. I still would put them as the best team in the American League right now, even though they don't have the most wins. They're starting pitching. They've got a pretty solid bullpen. They certainly offensively can match the Red Sox. Indians offensively can almost match the Red Sox. Indians have good starting pitching. Corey Kluber on his way to his 20th win this season. The Red Sox are a very good team. That's why, I mean, it should be something. It should be a bloodbath. I mean, both ALDS, the division series, should be something else. I mean, Cleveland and Houston and the Red Sox against, say, it's the Yankees.
I think that Andrew Miller, we could tee off on him, and that would be a big swing in that series if we ever do.
Why do you think you could tee off on him? I know he struggled a little bit, but now he's started to bounce back a little bit of late.
He's kind of on the downswing at the wrong point in the season. I think he had a good stroke earlier on in the season, but I think that he's coming down, and we could really. I don't think he's fit for the playoffs, really.
I mean, the issue, the concern, like everyone else I have with this Red Sox team, is the concerns out of the bullpen. I mean, I wondered if Eovaldi, I mean, depending on the series of the matchup, could emerge as an eighth-inning guy. I mean, you have to start him against the Yankees because the Yankees have so many right-handed hitters. I mean, and especially if they don't have Didi Gregorius, who has that wrist injury. So, I mean, tonight, for instance, they only had one left-handed hitter in their lineup against the Rays, and that was Aaron Hicks, who's a switch hitter. So you got to start Eovaldi, especially the way he's pitched at Yankee Stadium in his career and also this season. But, I mean, he could end up being a key out of that bullpen in a long postseason run, especially a guy that could throw 100 out of the bullpen with some movement. I mean, he might be the eighth-inning guy, but a lot of these teams, I mean, the Indians, the Astros, certainly the A's, definitely, and even the Yankees, those teams' managers know who they're going to go to in certain situations, whether it's the sixth, seventh, or eighth. Red Sox don't have that. That's the one concern. Other than that, I'm not too concerned, but that's one big concern.
Yeah. Just one last thing I want to run by you, and then I'll let you go. Do you think that Joe Kelly will be good in the playoffs? I don't think he's fit for it.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he is, but I don't know how much action he'll get, and I wonder in high leverage situations. Many, you know, people have been texting in that they don't think he's going to be on the postseason roster. I think he will be. because he could throw hard and you get in the cold temps and home at Fenway. But I just think he'll be part of that bullpen, especially, you know, it's scary to say against the Yankees, those right-handed bats. Yeah. So, all right, we're kind of late here for it, but Tom Brady, let's hear what Tom Brady had to say with Jim Gray, part of the Westwood One broadcast pregame before Monday Night Football tonight. Here's Tom Brady with Jim Gray.
Tom, we've been doing this show a long time, and only a couple of times throughout our time together have I had this statement to you. You've lost three out of your last four games. What's going on here?
You know, we had a tough night last night, and that's back-to-back weeks for us where we got off to really poor starts. And when you get behind on the road in the NFL, it's not good.
So, Tom, here's what's hard to understand because you guys have set the standard for so long. How can a Lions team look so bad against the Jets and the 49ers, give up 78 points, and then you can only go out and score 10 points and throw for just 133 yards? I know it's hard to win a game in the NFL. We've been over all of this a lot of times. But it's really difficult to comprehend.
Well, it's basic execution. I mean, there's no magic plays. In order to score points, you've got to do the right things consistently up and down the field. You know, you need a lot of consistency and dependability. You know, over the course of the entire offense or defense, special team units, we all work together. We're obviously not looking any further than the next game. I mean, there's no reason to ever do that in the NFL. But we got a division opponent, Miami, coming to Foxborough, and we got a lot of improvement to make in a very short period of time.
Tom, you've also often told us you're not the general manager. However, I want to see if you understand this. Gone is Deion Lewis. Gone is Brandon Cooks. Gone is Danny Amendola. Gone, at least temporarily, and all of last season because of the ACL, is Julian Edelman. And the team wants to trade Rob Gronkowski? What's going on here?
One thing's for sure is there's always change in the NFL. I mean, you're right. We lost a lot of guys to free agency last year. We had a lot of very talented players, got opportunities on other teams. And, you know, we've gone out and we've added some different players. And that's just the way the NFL is. Players, it's not like some unforeseen thing that's happened. I mean, players leave, coaches leave. There's a lot of change. It's who deals with the change over the course of a long season that, you know, in the end gets a chance to play in January.
But isn't it obvious, Tom, just based on the last question, to see that all of your weapons, almost all of your weapons are no longer there? And then when the offense struggles, it's really not difficult to see why.
It's a new team, and other guys are getting different opportunities. So, you know, different guys are in spots that they've earned, and they've worked to get to this point. And, you know, we're trying to build on it.
Tom, you've now had a week with Josh Gordon. Could he be the answer? Might he be of help?
I think we really need to see how it plays out. He's working to learn. He's working to understand, you know, how we do things. It's just a work in progress, and we're working through a lot of things. And I think the thing I'm focused on is not who hasn't played, who has played. It's focused on what I need to do to help the team win. And anyone could put you a quarterback scratchy to go out and lose games, I'll tell you that. But I don't want to be out there to lose games, so I got to go out there and figure out how to help us win.
You'd definitely be losing games with me.
Oh, I know that. I definitely know that.
That's for certain. Is there such a thing as a must win in week four of the NFL season? And is that the case against Miami?
Well, I mean, this isn't the playoffs, but I mean, all these wins count the same, whether you lose in September or December. You know, we certainly, you know, put ourselves in a position where we can't lose too many more.
Jim Gray with Tom Brady as we count down to kickoff between the Bucs and the Steelers. Tom is brought to you exclusively by Macy's. Tom, Rob Gronkowski vetoed, in a sense, a trade to Detroit. He came out and confirmed it yesterday when he told him that he would retire because he only wanted to play with you and that you're the only quarterback he wants to be with. Your feeling on that?
It speaks to, you know, the relationship we have, and we have a great relationship. And, you know, I love being out there with him. He's produced at an incredible level for as long as he's been in the league. What he's fought through, no one will ever know. And he's one of the toughest guys that ever been around.
Tom, I know you're trying to get ready for the Miami Dolphins, but what do you think about a book being released every week regarding your circumstance, Bill Belichick, the organization, and everything that has gone on? Seems like there's one coming out almost every week.
I mean, I think there's a couple approaches. One, you don't need to respond at all, and two is you can respond all the time, but I wouldn't have enough time in the day to respond to all the things that are said that are probably untrue about me. That's part of being in this profession. I'm cool with it, and hopefully they sell books and you know, make some people some money.
Tom, your former teammate Jimmy Garoppolo, unfortunately, got injured yesterday, confirmed today, a torn ACL. He is out for the season. He was your backup for several years, got traded away, bit of a controversy there. Have you communicated with Jimmy today, and what are your feelings on him being out for the year?
Yeah, you know what? I did text him. You know, I just told him he'll be back better than ever. It's a tough injury. I've been through it. Obviously, so many teammates over the years go through that injury. It's a tough injury. It's a tough rehab, but he's a tough guy. He'll be back soon, and he'll be back ready for next year, I'm sure.
Tom, appreciate it. We look forward to talking to you at halftime.
Great. Look forward to it. Thanks, Jim.
So that was Tom Brady with Jim Gray of Westwood One before tonight's Monday night football game. I listened to the Kirk and Callahan interview with Brady this morning and just listened to that for the first time, and that was my first time hearing it, obviously doing the Red Sox stuff tonight. But, yeah, it seemed like a lot of the similar questions and a lot of similar answers from Brady to the Kirk and Callahan interview I heard today with Tom Brady. But, you know, the thing that stunned me the most, even more so maybe, it did more so than the loss last night at Detroit, which was stunning, was Rob Gronkowski actually confirming the Adam Schefter report that there was a trade worked out between the Patriots and Lions for Gronkowski to go there. I'm guessing, obviously, draft picks were involved there. I mean, you know, there is something with all of this. I mean, Brady has to be upset about that. I mean, can you imagine this offseason, Gronkowski, I'm sure, called Brady and said, can you believe this? They're trading me to Detroit. I mean, can you believe what's going on? What the hell is going on here? What is going on lately with Belichick and at Foxborough? I'm sure there was that conversation. I'm guessing, but I'm sure there was definitely that talk between those two. And Gronk before, I mean, is kind of, he's talked about retiring. And, of course, he threatened to retire if he was traded to the Lions and just wants to play for the Patriots. But that makes no sense. Very team-friendly contract. I mean, imagine who would Brady be throwing the ball to if Gronkowski wasn't around this season? Would Brady even be around? Would he have been moved somewhere? Who knows? And of course, yesterday, Jimmy Garoppolo going down with a torn ACL. So an interesting day all around in the NFL. Also, this Monday Night Football game is getting interesting. Tampa Bay's cut it to 30-27. Steelers lead by a field goal with 2.5 minutes to play in the fourth quarter at Tampa Bay. And the Steelers are a desperate team right now, 0-1-1. And Antonio Brown was very vocal in the locker room. The Steelers and Patriots both have their issues this season, separate issues. You've got the Steelers, Le'Veon Bell, and the Jets supposedly in talks with the Steelers about Bell, who's still holding out. I mean, it's been a number of different years Bell has been upset with his contract. And then Antonio Brown, he had that tweet about being traded, wanting to get traded, and then he, you know, said, well, that was a mistake. You know, I didn't mean to say that and all that other stuff. He said he's just pissed off that the Steelers are 0-1-1. So I thought this a desperate team, the Steelers. I thought the Steelers would win this game now, even though Tampa Bay's off to a terrific start. Thought they would. And then you got the Patriots. I do think Jim Gray has Tom Brady. That is a must-win for the Patriots. You can't lose to Miami. Go to 1-3 all of a sudden. It's crazy to think after week three, I don't think anyone had this, Dolphins 3-0, the Patriots, Jets, and Bills 1-2. And you had the Bills go into Minnesota and absolutely annihilate the Vikings yesterday. And they were 17-point underdogs. So that was the biggest NFL upset in 23 years yesterday. So a lot happened yesterday. Tonight, in terms of baseball, Red Sox winners over the Orioles 6-2. We're late for a break. Get back to your calls here, 617-779-7937. You can text us at 37937. It's John Ryder, Red Sox Review, taking you up until midnight. Matt in the car, you're up next. Other than that, room for you on the phone lines. You're on WEI on Red Sox Review.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEI.
And the 1-2 pitch to Nunez. Swing and a ground ball, bounce to second. Holt has it. Fires to first in time, and the Red Sox break a record set 106 years ago with their 106th victory. They beat the Baltimore Orioles tonight 6-2.
That is incredible. They get their 106th win, breaking the mark 106 years ago, 1912 team. As the Red Sox take it, Joe Castiglione with a final call here on WEI. I'm John Ryder with you. Up until midnight, Red Sox Review, we've been kind of a menagerie of things here. We had the Tom Brady interview, if you want to react to that, whether it was Tom Brady earlier this morning on on Kirk and Callahan, or whether it was what you just heard in our most recent segment, Tom Brady with Westwood One's Jim Gray. And Brady clearly, I mean, look, seemed a little more chipper in that interview than this morning. Of course, early in the morning as opposed to a little bit later on in the day. But, yeah, that was 26-10 shellacking to Detroit. Any leftover thoughts from that? I know it's been much talked about, and understandably so, throughout the day. But we'll certainly welcome Patriots conversation and their issues. And they've got Miami coming up. Miami 3-0, but they feel like a kind of a hollow 3-0 in a sense. I mean, they won those games, deserve it. But I still think the Patriots end up winning this division. Are there issues? Will they get to the Super Bowl? That's, you know, another question. I mean, they've had struggles before in September and bounced back. Of course, they were a Super Bowl team last season. But, you know, this has a little bit of a different feel to it. I mean, how much do they need Josh Gordon? Is Josh Gordon going to have his head on right and be able to perform here with the Patriots? I mean, it could be a very important piece. They get Julian Edelman back after this game when they take on the Colts in Thursday Night Football the following week. So Patriots talk, any Red Sox talk is fine. It's gone final the Monday. Obviously, it is Red Sox Review. And it was also Celtics Media Day today. And I'm sure Patrick Gilroy will be talking quite a bit about that. So you had Celtics Media Day, Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward both happy and looking forward to the season. That's what they say said today. And I'm looking forward to the Celtics season as well. So 617-779-7937. You can text us at 37937. Red Sox 6-2 victory over the Orioles tonight. Let's get back to the calls. Here's Matt in the car. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good, Matt.
Hey, just wanted to bring up a couple of really quick points about the bullpen. Everybody's been talking about Kelly. I think especially coming up on the first series being a five-game series in the playoffs, obviously it'd be great to have E-Rod in the bullpen. I'm also considering maybe even Evaldi if they look to maybe only use three pitchers in the rotation for the first round.
I don't think they go with three pitchers in the first round.
It's a little risky, I know, to try to.
Well, I think they're concerned.
The other three.
Yeah, I think the concern there is obviously, you know, and Sales looked fine of late, and obviously they're handling him with kid gloves, which is understandable. I mean, he's so important to whatever they're going to do in the postseason. So he's your number one. I think in any sense, I think this is the way it meant. If it's the Yankees, it's Sale, Price, Porcello, and Evaldi. If it's the A's, it's Sale, Price, Porcello, Rodriguez. And then if there's a must-win game five, it's obviously back to Sale in either scenario.
Right. And just having E-Rod in there in the bullpen, even right now practicing and stuff, I mean, you know, say it is the Yankees and stuff, I think that really helped with the possible seventh inning. And then all you have to really worry about is, you know, Bond and Brazier. I mean, they could, you know, alternate off, or obviously you want to have someone really solid or whoever.
And I think Stephen Wright will be in the mix as well as part of that. Yeah, I mean,
maybe coming in the sixth or the seventh or something like that, but keep Kelly off of it. I think Kelly's proven right now, especially in the short series, maybe you put him on the roster for the seven game, but not the five.
Yeah, I think the three guys that they're going to be trying to utilize out of the bullpen are you know, it's not lights out situation. Right, and the issue there, even though he's a very good pitch, is you worry about, you know, a wild pitch or a passed ball and a run coming with him.
I definitely don't like, I know they tried him a couple times in the eighth. I really like him maybe in the, you know, if you're a starter, getting, you know, having a little bit of struggle getting past 100 pitches around fifth or sixth inning, maybe bring him in the sixth or the seventh if you have a two or a three-run lead. But with a one-run lead, you probably want to stay away from the knuckleballer with a one-run lead.
One floats up there and a guy whacks it out. Yeah, I mean, and you also, they brought him in and they've tried this with runners on this season. Not that much, but they have done it. You know, I think that they'd like him to start off a clean inning, you know, without the potential. So the issue with Wright is it's not, you know, I think there's value to him and a value to a knuckleballer, but the concern is what we just mentioned. So every one of them has a concern. All right, Brazier, who's been very good this season. What a find he's been. I mean, emailing the team to get a job, and he ends up getting a sponsor. I mean, what a story that has been, coming back from Tommy John and being over in Japan last season, in the minor leagues of Japan last season, nevertheless. Yeah. But he's never had that postseason experience. And you wonder about that. And then you've got Barnes, who, has been pretty good, one of their more reliable pitchers this season. Right. But I don't know how much you trust him. I mean, but I think those are the three that they'll – and, they're going to count on either Evaldi or Rodriguez. That's who they're going to – they're going to count on one of those guys more than the other three.
To get you to Kimbrel. I absolutely agree with that
100%. I would like to see – if it was Oakland, Evaldi pitch that eighth inning, be that eighth inning guy, throwing 100 miles an hour. That's what I would like to see.
Not?
Seventh, eighth
why
inning.
Not? And, have you riding the rotation?
I mean,
I think it's just going to be exciting. It's been an exciting season, and I'm glad they're in that situation. I'm a season ticket holder for the Pats, too. I could go on with you about the Pats and last week's game, but I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, Matt. Good call. Appreciate it. Yeah, I think the Patriots will bounce back with a win over Miami this Sunday. I mean, that's a must-win situation for them. Week four, it's crazy to say that is a must-win. So tonight, Monday Night Football, Steelers hang on. They beat the Bucs 30-27. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who had a rough first half, started putting it together in the second half. He set an NFL record as the first quarterback ever to throw for 400 or more yards over the first three games. He had three touchdowns, but he also had three picks in this one, including a pick six. So the Steelers hang on. They are now 1-1-1. So the question, who is the class of the AFC? You had Jacksonville, a disappointing loss yesterday. 9-6 they lose to the Titans yesterday. The Patriots losing. And then, there's been a lot of talk. If we look at the whole scope of the NFL, a lot of people high on Minnesota heading into the season. At home, they get destroyed by Buffalo yesterday. A lot of people liking the Saints this season. They rallied to beat the Falcons in overtime. Big game from Drew Brees. He accounted for five touchdowns yesterday. But, their defense hasn't been very good. The Patriots rank near the bottom of the league defensively. So, right now, who is the class? I mean, it's too early to tell, isn't it? So, I still think there's a chance to turn things around here for the Patriots. Doesn't look good now, but they there is an opportunity for them to turn things around here, and they have to. They have to. All right, Red Sox haven't had much drama or disappointments in the regular season. We'll see how the postseason goes. So the Red Sox, 106 wins, franchise record. They set it tonight, and more importantly, they get home field advantage throughout the postseason, which I think is big when you're talking about a team playing at Fenway Park and how unique Fenway Park is and how much the crowd will be behind them during the postseason. All right, we'll be on time for a break for once here tonight, and we'll do that right now. Room fee on the phone lines, whether it's Red Sox, Patriots, or anything else left over from the weekend or today, 617-779-7937. You can text us 37937. John Ryder with you. Red Sox Review, one more segment to go up until midnight, then Patrick Gilroy takes over with Late Night, taking your calls from midnight up until 2 in the morning. So, room fee on the phones. We'll take a break. We'll also hear from Red Sox manager Alex Cora coming up in the next segment. You're on Red Sox Review on WEI.
This is Red Sox Review on WEI.
Red Sox Review, WEI. John Ryder with you. Final segment here. Taking your phone call, 617-779-7937. You can text us 37937. Red Sox 6-2 winners over the Orioles tonight at Fenway. 106th win, franchise record, home field advantage throughout the postseason, which I think is significant. It's important. They say that it isn't so much in baseball, and, I think it depends on the team. I think it is when Fenway Park's your home park, and with this team, too. And, they do have some postseason experience, but not an absolute ton. But I think it does make a difference. All right. Red Sox calls, any Patriots leftover conversation, fine with me. Text this in from 714 area code. Kansas City Chiefs team to beat right now. Well, they are. Yes, they're 3-0. They are. And Patrick Mahomes has been great. Making that switch at quarterback has worked out for the Chiefs so far. They've got plenty of talent on offense. Not a great defense, but plenty of talent on offense. The 3-0 teams are the Dolphins, surprisingly, the Chiefs, in the AFC, and then the Rams 3-0 in the NFC, and a lot of conversation about the Rams heading into this season, and they have a very good team. Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib, both their corners leaving with injuries in yesterday's win over the Chargers. That's right, they played the Chargers. I was just thinking during the break, and I was mentioning this to Drew, who's producing back there. I can't remember, when was the last time, I mean, this is crazy to say, when was the last time that you could say, heading into a week in the NFL, the Patriots are coming off a loss and the Browns are coming off a win? When was the last time that happened? The last Browns win before they won the other night, that Thursday night win over the Jets, was 2016. I think Johnny Manziel, it's either Johnny Manziel or Robert Griffin who was the quarterback in that victory. But when was the last time you could say that? All right, let's get to a call here before we hear a little bit from Alex Cora. Here's Roy in the car. Hey, Roy.
Hey, Chad. How you doing?
Good, Roy. How are you?
Good, thank you. Like you just said, Kansas City looks like the team to beat, but to me, don't sleep on the Chargers.
Chargers?
If they can get a healthy Joey Bosa back on defense, and this team is loaded offensively, they can score with the best of them in the NFL, my opinion.
All right. I mean, I didn't expect that. I don't see the Chargers, but, you never know. But I just don't see it.
Well, they're loaded offensively. Well, Red Sox bullpen.
All right.
Peter Wright is making a believer of me. He's done nothing but throw up zeros since he's come back and been in the bullpen.
You're right.
And how about a knuckleball in the seventh inning and a ball in the eighth inning or something?
I wouldn't be against that. I would like Eovaldi. I mean, Eovaldi could go two innings potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, he could go seventh and eighth. What your hope is that Sale goes seven or eight. You're hoping that, but I don't know if they're going to try. Well, it is the postseason, so certainly if they make it to the World Series, they'll try to push him like that. But in terms of all the innings they're saving for him during the regular season. But, it's going to be fascinating. I mean, I guess the guys, I mean, I'd have the more confidence in either Rodriguez or Eovaldi than pretty much anyone else they have in the bullpen.
I don't know about Rodriguez. He's never been there, but like I said, think of a knuckleball as a traditional bullpen guy.
No, he's been effective, and I think he'll be counted on come postseason.
Right.
Definitely, Roy. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's hear a little bit from Alex Cora before we make our way out of here. Here's Alex Cora after the Red Sox get their 106th win.
Unreal. I never thought – we never talk about records or or stuff like that. You just talk to them before the season to show up every day and play the game the right way, and they're doing it for a while. They're very consistent at what they do, and we're very proud of them.
Yes, can you talk about the pitching tonight, Rowdy, and then Rodriguez?
Yeah, Nate was awesome. Used his fastball in different spots, threw a lot of splits. He was up in the zone, backdoor cutters, pitch inside. It's one of those outings that, you know, although the last inning he had to work for it, but all of a sudden you look up, it's 10 strikeouts. And we haven't seen that in a while. But very happy with the way they worked today. Christian did an outstanding job. Eduardo, the first inning, you know, I think he left three pitches down the middle, and they put some good swings on it, but the second inning, he was better, and it was good to see him come out of the bullpen and pitch two innings.
Back to the record for a minute, Alex. I mean, this is a historic franchise that's been around for a long time. Obviously, you have sights set on bigger things next month, but for someone who has an appreciation of the game's history, what does it mean to be part of that?
It's unreal, you know, like you think about the history of the game and the history of this franchise and to be part of this, I can't even explain it. Obviously, it's something that we should call timeout and enjoy this one because we know what we have to do in October, but to be able to do this, at this level, you know, it's in this division, you start looking around, you know, the Yankees are pretty good. You look at Tampa, the record, probably they're going to win 90 games. And for us to do it is amazing. And like I said, it's a testament of, you know, the whole organization. I think, you know, the coaching staff has done an outstanding job connecting with the players. And then, you know, the players, they've been great since day one. When I started flying around, Timmy, Andy, Ron, trying to connect with them and kind of like explain the plan, what we had in mind, not only in spring training but throughout the year. But at the end, they're the ones that play, and they've been very consistent. We saw it in spring training. I know people made fun of me when I say we had the best record in spring training, but we finished strong. We finished strong, and it's not that I saw that we were going to win 106 or whatever we're going to end up winning, but I saw a good team that was going to be very competitive, and they show up every day.
Did you address the team after this victory? Did you talk to the guys?
Yeah, actually, Petey talked to them. He's been here the longest, so he talked to the team, and I did too. But it felt appropriate that he was the one that addressed them. He's been here since 2006, won a few championships, and you know it's a shame that you know he could only play a few games. But I think it was appropriate for him to address them.
Remarkable first season for Alex Cora as Red Sox manager, 106 wins, a franchise record. Real quick, Drew Johnson, thanks to him for running things back there tonight, did some digging, and he could find the last time that the Patriots were coming off a loss and the Browns coming off a win was December of 2013. So that's quite a while ago. Week five. There you go. Actually, what, October, not December, October of 2013. 2013's come up a lot. Last time the Red Sox won, last time Tiger Woods before yesterday won had a PGA Tour win. Well, that will do it for Red Sox Review here on WEI. I'll be with you tomorrow night after the Red Sox game coming up next. Stay tuned. Get your calls in late night with Patrick Gilroy's up next on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.